From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Welcome to your Friday, this 23rd day of April. Thank you for tuning in, my friends. 9:06 in the morning and currently 49 degrees, a little cooler this morning here at the KSLM studios, and cloudy sky expected today. Rain in the forecast for the next couple days and a little bit cooler. So you want to make sure you have your sweater, sweatshirt, jacket when you're out and about. It looks like it could rain each and every day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then towards the middle of next week, warming back up with sun in the forecast, temperatures in the 70s. So it won't last real long. And of course, we know April showers, what they bring, right? May flowers. So we certainly have that to look forward to here in the weather forecast. I want to do an update on what's going on with the Safe School Summit right around the corner. We have this happening tomorrow, and I want to bring on the line right away for this morning Suzanne Gallagher to give us an update. Suzanne, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Oh, this is going to be a good day. We're so excited about tomorrow. We'll be over at the venue setting up and getting our name tags all laid out on the table and putting the finishing touches on our event. And I have extended the time frame for signing up or registering for the event until midnight tonight.
Oh, excellent. And so,
you know, we want to make this really great for every single participant. And in order to do that, we have printed name tags. We've provided for a fabulous meal in the noon hour. And so, you know, we want to prepare for you. So we're asking you, please help us register so that we can be ready.
Right.
You will not regret this. And I'm going to put out another plea to anyone who is working on a school board campaign, either as a candidate or a volunteer. It's going to rain tomorrow. Are you going to be out in the rain knocking on doors? I don't know. But there's something that goes on in political campaigns that I have experienced as a candidate myself, and that's when the firestorms come, when they start slinging mud at you, you begin to doubt, what is my resolve? I mean, why am I doing this? I was recruited. My gosh, you know, I didn't ask for this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You need to cement that resolve, and you can do it at the Safe School Summit tomorrow. After tomorrow, you will have no doubt whatsoever why you are running for this such an important position. Hugely important, you guys. If we don't have a majority on our school boards, we cannot change anything. But if we do, we can change so much.
Right. And we have about 850 positions, I believe, all across Oregon and school boards that need to be filled with like-minded, conservative-minded, child-focused school board members, right? And what a great time to come to this summit. If you're in Washington, even if you're in Idaho, come on over. Certainly here in Salem, why not spend the day with like-minded people, getting encouraged, like you say. Let's talk a little bit about the lineup. Who do you have on the lineup going to be speaking?
Oh my goodness. We are jam-packed. We have a jam-packed schedule, and as you know, Stacy Ann, you are the MC.
Mm-hmm.
Our lineup takes up 4 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, just, you know, with the introductory information, with their brief bios. These are not, yes, we do have our four main speakers, you know, Walt Heyer, Rebecca Friedrichs, who fights the unions. I mean, you've seen her on Fox. She's a regular Fox contributor. And then we have Tina Griffin, amazing. She will pump you up. I mean, she is fantastic. I just love her. Met her not too long ago, actually, near Nashville, where she lives and works. And she's going to talk about the culture, what's going on. It's not just the public schools, as we all know, but how are all of these people connected? We have to figure it out, connect the dots. And then Bernadette Broyles is an attorney. Mm-hmm. She represented parents' rights in education when we sued the Dallas School District for forcing other students to take showers with the opposite sex, forced that on their parent. In fact, the parent of the child who was encouraged and basically told by the principal that she would use the opposite sex restroom and locker room, told that parent, no, you don't have anything to say about this. I mean, you guys, this is happening. It is happening in every single school in the country, and we will explain how deep and wide this issue is. It's a national crisis.
So we need to be there tomorrow. How do people get registered again?
Well, they need to go on, they can go on Eventbrite and put Northwest Safe School Summit in the search bar. That's a real easy way to do it. Or you can go on our website and click on events. We also have an icon on the homepage. Pretty easy to find. We have announced the location to our attendees, the exact location. Only our attendees will be told the exact location.
Okay.
So there's a reason for that.
Yep.
But register, and we will send you that information.
Okay, parentsrightsined.org. Get registered today. Thank you, Suzanne. I look forward to seeing you a little bit later on today. Thank you for your time this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you.
So, friends, I encourage you to get registered. We need you to be there tomorrow. Maybe because of the rain in the forecast, you were going to go out. You're a school board or going to help a school board member who's applying to be elected. Encourage your person to come to the Safe School Summit so we can gather together and be encouraged and have a game plan strategically for the Pacific Northwest and find out how we can earn our place at the table. I love this saying. The board president here in Salem said, if we don't have a place at the table, we're on the menu. So we need to have a place at the table, and we need to get our right candidates there. And so parentsrightsined.org. And I also want to say there is so much going on. Today is the very last day to vote for the best of the Willamette Valley. And I was just on the website, and there are so many choices, and under all of the different options, there's wonderful businesses that support us here at KSLM. I encourage you to go on there, make your vote. Today's the last day. By 5 o'clock today, get that vote in. And of course, our radio station is listed under radio stations, so vote for your favorite radio station there, KSLM. And I want to say, as far as what's going on, we have the Safe School Summit this weekend. Then next weekend, there is so much going on next weekend. Next weekend, Canyon View Ministries, they are doing a cleanup at their campground. They're trying to get it all cleaned up so kids can go to at least day camps this summer. No overnight camps yet. But you can help out Canyon View Ministries. Find out more there. Also, the Young Life Group, they are doing a skeet shoot fundraiser, and you could go to midvalleynorth.younglife.org and find out more and join them. And on May 1st as well is going to be a Second Amendment rally down at the riverfront. And so this is a great opportunity for you to join in and stand strong for our Second Amendment rights. We're going to have a little bit more information, I think, next week as we go along. In regards to that. Now, taking a look at some of the news and the headlines, Northwest Observer, I want to encourage you, if you've not subscribed to Northwest Observer, they have some really great articles on what's happening around Oregon and certainly what's happening at the State House. But you may or may not have heard this latest news. A woman dies after getting COVID vaccine. The OHA and the CDC are investigating. The Oregon Health Authority has been informed that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is investigating the death of an Oregon woman following immunization with Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. The information about the death has been sent to the CDC through the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and we've talked about that, the VAERS reporting system, the national reporting system used to collect reports on adverse events after vaccination. OHA was notified of the potential adverse event on April 20th, 2 days after CDC was notified on April 18th. The Oregon resident, a woman in her 50s, received a dose of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine before the pause order on its use was issued. Until the investigation is complete, it cannot be concluded whether her death is related to the vaccine. She developed a serious blood clot blood clot within 2 weeks following the vaccination. Prior to the issuance of the pause, cases of this serious blood clots have been identified among 6 women around the country who received the vaccine. Healthcare providers are required to report certain adverse events after COVID-19 vaccines in accordance with the emergency use authorization for COVID-19 vaccines. This includes serious adverse events such as death, any life-threatening event, and inpatient hospitalization. More than 87,000 doses of Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine have been administered at locations throughout Oregon. The case in Oregon will add to the evidence of potential risks associated with Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices will review the data accumulated to date and weigh the risk and benefits of the vaccine. These considerations will inform the ACIP's recommendation regarding the use of the vaccine going forward. And so this is on northwestobserver.com, certainly something that we need to be aware of. And it's so extremely important that we stay on top of that. The other issue that's ramping up all around Oregon, and people are stirred up and very frustrated about the moving around of the different risk categories and how that's affecting businesses again. And people are just had it. It's like, we gave you 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and then we gave you the whole year. Now it's time to get back to living. And there's uprising. People are not wanting to wear the mask. People are wanting to get back to business as usual. People are upset at the metrics and the science that don't seem to add up as to these lockdowns. Lots of questions as to why there are increased numbers of COVID cases reported through OHA, when indeed more people are getting vaccinated. It just, the math, the science isn't adding up. And people have had enough. And so I encourage people to stand together as people are doing. They're standing for freedom, and this project to stop the abuse, Restore Oregon Now, is happening, where you have an opportunity to sign a petition, and it's a citizen petition. It's not a recall petition. It's not a petition to run for office. This is a petition that says you, the citizen, we want our elected leaders to stand for freedom. You sign the petition urging local leaders to defend our constitutional right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from being canceled by the governor's endless emergencies. Have you had enough? I think so. And they go on to say, the mission is to provide relief and protection for individuals and businesses suffering under the emergency declarations and restrictions of the governor. The goal, empower local governments and law enforcement agencies to uphold the higher law, the U.S. Constitution, of course, our Oregon Constitution, when there is conflict with lower law. Objective, pass local resolutions and ordinances that require adherence to the U.S. Constitution above all lower laws or executive orders. If that sounds like something you want to do, you want to sign this petition, you want to print off a petition and get others around you to sign off, I encourage you to go to restoreoregonnow.org. We're going to continue the conversation after I come back. We're going to talk a little bit about masking and what could happen if you say, no, I don't want a mask. And we are getting stronger together. There's so many people going into stores around here, even not wearing a mask. It's encouraging to me. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
This Friday, looking forward to a fantastic weekend, and many of you I know are going to the Safe School Summit, and I'll see you there. I know Josh will be there. So many of our friends will be there, and it'll be a great time to gather together and kind of get a game plan, learn what's happening all across Oregon with our schools and how we can push back and get the right kind of people in there. I'm looking forward to that. And continuing the conversation this morning, it is an interesting season that we lived in. You know, when I started here, a year ago, I started the morning show, and then 2 weeks later, everything got closed down because of COVID, and I had no idea at all. Even when we moved to Oregon, I had no idea what we would face, but I knew that I needed to be here. We felt called to this region, had no idea what we'd meet when we got here, and it's been such an experience. Even with the difficulties, the silver lining is I've met some incredible treasure. And just a few weeks ago at the business Freedom Business Fellowship meeting that we had at the River Church. I met this beautiful woman, and she is a treasure. And she stood up. It was almost towards the end of the meeting. And if I can describe to you, if you've never been to the Freedom Business Fellowship at the River, it's, I think the next one is going to be on the 14th of May on a Friday night. And I want to encourage you to get signed up for it. If you're a business owner, if you know a business owner, if you're a community member, you need to be there. It's incredible. And right towards the end, we were starting to share our stories, and this beautiful gal, Mindy, stood up and started to tell her story and asked for support and prayer. And the whole room just got really quiet, because it got real quick, fast, real quick, real life up close for many of us. Because how many times have you, friends, been in a store and decided you weren't going to wear the mask, or you weren't going to comply, right? And either have been confronted, maybe you haven't been confronted, but we certainly know kind of the anxiety around all of that, because there's most of us want to go along and get along. Most of us don't want to, cause a lot of stir, a lot of attention to ourselves, and we certainly don't want to get in trouble. For the most part, because that's how we're designed. We want to follow the rules, right? But when they start taking away our rights and they start requiring things of us that just don't make sense, right? And I love what Pastor Lou always says, if this was such a terrible disease and so highly contagious, where are the toxic throwaway trash cans and things to put the mask in? Why do we see them laying around on the floor, on the ground, in the parking lots, right? It just doesn't add up. And so, Mindy, I'm so glad to have you here to tell your story today and share with the listeners what's going on with you. First, give us a little background on who you are, where you live, kind of what you do on your day-to-day life.
Thank you so much for inviting me. So I am originally from Florida, from the East Coast of Florida. And in 2008, I decided at the age 40 that I had not found my husband. I hadn't found my people that I wanted to spend the second half of my life with. So I moved out to Portland, Oregon. I had been to Portland before, and I thought that might be where I need to be. Mm-hmm. So I packed up my van, brought my cat, and just drove out west. I stopped in San Francisco on my way and met my now husband.
Aww.
Just a chance meeting.
I love it.
And I struggled with the economy like everyone in 08 or 09, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And so I moved down to the Bay Area, which I really never wanted to live in California, but it seemed like love might be more advantageous than work. So I went down, and I was able to convince my then fiancé to move up to Oregon with me.
Oh, yay.
So we relocated to Mapleton, Oregon. We lived out near the coast for about 4 years, and then we finally moved into Eugene. And it was a struggle finding work, finding new friends. And in last year, last March, I had I left one full-time job for a part-time job to give me more free time. And like you, I was only at my new job for 3 days.
Oh, boy.
And they told me I needed to go home, and they would call me back up when they could open the office. So I was very nervous, but I wanted to... Like you, I thought this was a serious, deadly threat that was going to cause people to drop in the streets. And I was very compliant.
Right.
And I started researching, because I wanted to understand what this pandemic was and what are the ways to make yourself healthy and protect yourself, and how does this virus transmit? So my husband and I both did a lot of research. When the guidance started changing with Kate Brown, our governor, and the OHA, and I started noticing that this idea of wearing a mask was, you know, being recommended, and then it was a mandate, and I began to get very nervous, because I cannot wear a mask. I tried to wear a shield. I cannot wear a shield. My whole physiology, my mental state gets very stressed out. Mm-hmm. I get anxious. I have claustrophobia. I also am a child of God, and I understand that covering your face is an affront to my Creator, who created me in God's image. So what if it's not helping me? And I did the research. Masks, as the CDC says, do not protect anyone with a virus. In fact, the virus particles are so small, they just go right through any mask.
And on the box, when they sell the mask, it says so.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you're not supposed to read.
Yeah, right. You're just supposed to go along to get along, right?
Exactly.
They know it. Somehow they know the science, but they won't reveal it to us. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, hanging out with Mindy. And boy, she has a compelling story. Can't wait to share it with you. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every day. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. Don't forget to go to votebowv.com. Best of Willamette Valley voting ends today at 5 p.m. Of course, this year it's brought to you by Rick's Custom Fencing and Decking. And so we'll wrap up today with the voting, and then they'll do the tabulating, and then the big announcement will happen, and the big celebration will happen in June. So looking forward to that, and I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, too, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. You can get a hold of Bill for any of your insurance needs by giving him a call, 503-885-0789, Sunderland agency.com. We're continuing the conversation this morning with Mindy. Mindy, you had said with us and shared with us a little bit about coming to Oregon and meeting your husband, you know, getting married and getting settled in Oregon, and you just taken this job, and you know you had to go home, and you talked a little bit about how you yourself can't wear a mask. You have a lot of issues in dealing with that. And not only liberty issues, but really physical barriers to doing so. And so talk to us a little bit about what has happened there in the community that you lived in, and how people are not complying and what they're doing, and what the businesses are doing. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay, so when the governor's orders changed, the OHA guidelines kept changing. They were shifting to, instead of an option, a choice, they started saying that it was now mandated and you would have to wear one to work, to go shopping. I began getting very nervous and going on Facebook, and I found this wonderful health advocate in California. Her name is Peggy Hall, and her website is thehealthyamerican.org. And she started posting YouTube videos about what a mandate is versus what a law is, and how mandates are not laws. The governor cannot make a law forcing medical devices on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I became basically just consumed with learning about law, and she would talk about the Constitution, not just the federal Constitution, but your own state Constitution, and learning your ordinances. And so she started saying, well, you can write these out and carry them with you when you go to a store, and educate the store owners if you should run into any trouble with trying to shop without covering your face.
So you would go to the stores after the requirement by the governor to wear something, and what would you find out when you went there? Would people still give you a hard time, or did you have to leave stores, that kind of thing?
Well, what was the most surprising is, I think it was in May, and the first place that was really just non-compassionate was Goodwill.
I have a few Goodwill stories.
Oh my
myself.
Goodness!
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I are
so much for Goodwill,
right? Yeah, it's not Goodwill; it's
the
bad
irony
will.
Of it all. Yes.
So they gave me the hardest time, and mm-hmm. they had like a few people just coming up to me, telling me we couldn't come into the store,
mm-hmm.
and we had to leave. We mm-hmm. knew that it seemed like we were being threatened.
Yes.
So, but I did. Strangely enough, I found that the problems were coming from the small businesses.
Mm.
And the reason why I moved to Oregon was to find my people, and my
right.
people are farmers. My
yes.
people are the local producers mm-hmm. of products.
Yes.
And so the stores that are independent owned in mm-hmm. Eugene, they were the ones that were not allowing me to go in. Even when I read to them the ordinances, such as what a place of public accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
A business is privately owned. We all get that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also, if it provides services, it is a place of public accommodation.
And they're not to discriminate.
Exactly.
They're not to discriminate. And that was my conversation with the gentleman at Best Buy when they came out to me. I had a mesh mask on that I could breathe through,
right.
and they said I had the wrong kind of mask
on. Word.
They sought me out, and so I had about a 5-minute conversation with the manager. He's been there 7 years, and he was very sarcastic with me when I was asking questions. I said, are you being sarcastic with me? I'm just wanting more information, you know?
Right.
But they customer service is out the window, totally
yes.
out the window, and it's
and
very frustrating.
And they believe that store policy supersedes any state law, federal law, any
right.
acts.
Right.
So the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Americans with Disability Act,
mm-hmm.
U.S. Code,
mm-hmm.
none of that apparently applies.
Well, and I said, I feel I'm being discriminated against because I should have the right to go into your store and shop. I have a mask on. And you're telling me, he goes, well, we'll accommodate you. You can go outside. I said, oh, so you'll bring the options for me to buy? No, you have to buy them first. You can shop online. I said, I feel like we're not discriminating against you. I said, you know, I feel discriminated against. I think there's a lot of discrimination going on.
There is, and there's no way to reasonably accommodate. That's
mm-hmm.
the term
mm-hmm.
that that is supposed to give you that option or non-option, but the last chance
mm-hmm.
to buy from a business. So the reasonable accommodation, are they going to bring out each item for you to look at? Are
no.
they going to bring the store outside
no,
to you?
They won't. He said I had to buy it. Then they'd bring it out to me. That was their accommodation.
That is not legal. Yeah,
right?
That is not lawful.
It's not lawful.
I want to clarify terms
right.
are important. So I have learned, drop the legal term.
Right.
Everything should be either lawful or unlawful.
Exactly.
So the small businesses were violating my rights.
Mm-hmm.
BOLI, which is the State of Oregon Civil Rights
mm-hmm.
Agency,
mm-hmm.
I have written to them. I have not gotten any satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
I have contacted, my first eviction from a store that I stood up to was a liquor store in South Eugene,
mm-hmm.
and they refused to let me look in the store. I'd never been there, so how did I know what I wanted?
Right.
So I left the store, and the police came, which was fine. I wanted to have a conversation with them anyway,
mm-hmm.
and so some of the police went inside, and there was an officer speaking with me. And he told me that I could go to another business. And, you know, he recommended getting my liquor at the grocery store in the plaza. And I
mm-hmm.
said, well, you can't even do that. That's not,
mm-hmm.
you don't understand the
they
liquor
don't
law.
Care. Yeah, right.
So I was told that when the officers came out that they said that I was trespassed. And I couldn't understand that because nothing
mm-hmm.
that I did in the store was combative. I wasn't rude.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't loud. I videotape everything
Good for
I do.
You. Good
My
for you.
Camera is on if there's a first sign of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I can prove to an officer what my behavior was.
And, right.
But anyways, they said, you can't go in there. And the officer asked me for my name, my date of birth, my address. And I said, well, I'd rather not give that to you. And he said, well, this is an open investigation.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, what?
Mm.
An investigation? So I you know, I felt coerced. Mm-hmm. I gave that information even though I didn't want to and I hadn't done anything wrong.
Did they say that you were being under, that you were going to get served a warrant for arrest or anything like that?
No, but he said this, so my, now that I know who you are, you've been warned. You can't come back to the store. And I said, I don't ever want to come back to the store. But fast forward to a Oregon chain of grocery stores. I don't know if I can give the name. Market of choice.
Okay. It's well not, known.
It's
well
another known. It's another non-choice option, right?
Right.
Like Goodwill.
It goes against their name.
Right. So in early December, they have been letting me shop there, no problem. I had been wearing a sign, a big sign that said, I have a medical condition, which is why I'm not wearing a mask. But I felt like I don't need to wear this.
It's like saying you're a, I'm a leper, back
right,
in the biblical times.
So I began thinking, this is not appropriate, so I'm just not going to wear it anymore.
Certainly doesn't follow HIPAA recommendations,
or,
right? Your privacy,
or other privacy,
right, privacy
rights. Yeah, there's Supreme Court laws.
Exactly, there is.
So
precedents.
Exactly. So I just decided not to wear it anymore. I'm just going to go in. They know who I am. And this evening, it was December 7th, two managers came up to me and said, you can no longer shop without a mask in our store. And I said, but I've been doing it this entire time. And they said, well, you can't now. So you can't buy these items. They wheeled my cart to the front. And I started videotaping from that point. And I said, could you explain again why I can't shop here and you're denying me my rights? So it's all on video. I left saying, I'm going to file a notice of discrimination against you, this manager. And so the next day I show up. I made sure that she was there to serve her. And I went into the store to deliver it. And the another manager asked why I was there and what I needed. And I explained. And then the main manager comes up and introduces himself. Hi, my name is Andrew. I'm the main manager. I think there was a, some confusion last night. And I said, well, not really, because this is what happened. So he said, well, you don't need to serve a notice. There was a mistake. You can shop here anytime without a mask or a shield. So, you know.
And did you have this on video, too?
I have that on video.
Oh, good for
you. And so I said, thank you very much. I went and got my shopping bag and came back and shopped. The next week, I bring a friend with me who has anxiety and cannot wear a mask. And I took him with me. The manager, Andrew, came up and offered us a mask. And we both said, no, thank you. And that was the end of it. So now my friend is happy. He has a place to go.
That he can shop, yes.
So fast forward to middle of January when I happened to be in the shopping plaza going, I went to an Office Max to get a notebook. And I get in my car to leave the plaza and I see a group of beautiful faces coming out of Market of Choice. And I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on here? I park my car and I see somebody that I know. And I walk up and I asked, and they said this was a mask-free shopping trip. And there was even a family with little children. It was like, you know, it was really a beautiful scene. So this friend of mine says to me, well, I was assaulted by an employee in the store. And I was shocked. And I said, well, if it were me, I would call the police. And he said, well, I want to, but I have too much anxiety. I just don't want to do that. Would you come in with me so I can talk to the manager? And I said, sure, I'll be your support. So we walk into the store, and there's like three or four other people. They're filming it. And I'm standing there with my friend, and the, another manager comes up to me, and he's talking, but I have told him time after time that I have hard time hearing people with that mask on. Some masks are thicker than others, and to me, I have a hearing issue. And I said,
you couldn't hear him.
Yeah, so I'll tell you the rest.
Okay,
we're
hanging on the edge here, friends, listening to this story. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this wonderful day. We're going to continue the conversation with Mindy. She's telling us about her story from the Eugene area and having to deal with not wearing a mask and dealing with commerce, really, and her right to even purchase, you know, your basic grocery items. And you were sharing that you brought your friend Andrew and you introduced him to this market, and there was this incident where he felt he was assaulted in the store. And what happened from there?
So, I'm sorry. It's my friend Marshall.
Oh, Marshall.
Yeah, that's okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of names here.
A lot of names.
So, I'm standing with my friend Marshall, and the manager comes up, and he's making eye contact. And I said, I can't hear you. You know this. With that on, if you want to, you know, he knows. I say, back up, pull the mask down, and I can hear you and read your lips. So he just keeps talking, and I just said, well, I'm here because my friend here was assaulted by an employee. And at the same moment, the man comes up, this very big, brutish-looking man
employee.
On to my right, and he's loudly saying, that never happened, I never touched him. And so the two of them, Marshall and this employee, are talking back and forth, and I'm standing there, I'm not saying a word. And nothing's happening from the manager. So all of a sudden, the manager's mumbling something, and the two men walk away. And we're just standing there. And I don't know if he's coming back or not. He was on his phone. So we waited a few minutes, and we walk out the door. As we're walking out, the loss prevention guy pulls his mask down and says specifically that the two men— Marshall and this other gentleman who was filming, they should be wearing a mask. They don't have a disability, and so they can't be in the store, but not me. I mean, I'm just like, oh, okay, well, that's reaffirmation that I'm okay here. And we leave the store, and about 15 minutes later, the group goes over to Office Max to shop group mask-free in there. And they're outside, and then an officer, Eugene Police, comes up, and he, I tell him I can't hear him. He backs up, he lowers his mask, and he says, everyone here is trespassed. And he's like waving his hand in the air to this group here. Everyone here is trespassed from Market of Choice. That's today, tomorrow, next week, next month. That's their deal, and they can do that. And I was just like, wow, that's very unusual. And it, you know how I told you about my so-called trespass 6 months earlier? Well, that wasn't the protocol.
Right.
So is there no formality? So
right.
Of course I'm thinking, well, this isn't real. And it doesn't apply to me because I'm not part of this group. And so
What happened next?
So then I live in North Eugene, and I don't typically shop in that store all the time. So I'm shopping at their other location, and no problem. And about one evening in February, I'm in there at night picking up a few items, and I go to check out, and a manager comes up and says, you've been trespassed. You can't be here anymore.
Oh, no.
And I said, what are you talking about? And I'm trying to understand. And he says, yes, you were demonstrating, and you can't do that. And I said, I've never demonstrated. I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't apply to me. And he said, well, you're supposed to wear a mask. And I'm like, what is happening? Are we going back through this again? So he denied me the right to commerce. I dropped my money. I packaged my shopping bag with items. And he kept saying, I'm not taking your money. So I just left with my things. The money's there. And a week later, I go to drop off the notice of discrimination that I'm filing against him. And the main manager, Andrew, sees me and he says, you need to get out of the store. And here it is all over again.
Oh, boy.
You've been trespassed. So I'm talking with him. I'm being polite. I'm not in the way of any traffic. It's 3 p.m. There's hardly anyone in the store. He calls the security personnel who comes up and says, you have 60 seconds to get out of the store or I'm going to handcuff you.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I'm just, I'm like thinking, this can't be happening.
So did they do that?
So he tells, you know, I'm like trying to understand. I said, I don't understand why you, I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here. And I said, I don't know who you are. Do you have identification? And he said, I don't have to show it to you. I don't have to tell you who I am. And then 30 seconds, or I'm going to handcuff you. And I'm filming this, and my friend is with me, Karen. And he grabs my right wrist and starts pulling me to the right. And I'm putting my items, my phone, in my left hand, and I'm handing it to Karen to take. And I said, film it. And he's clamping down hard on my wrist.
Oh,
so
no.
The cuff is cutting into my wrist, and I'm now screaming, going, take it off. Take it off. And nobody in the store comes up.
Oh
no
my.
One cares. He could have been killing me, and no one even came.
So did the police show up? We've got a few minutes left here.
Yeah,
the police showed up.
The police show up, and they take me outside. They don't take my story. And he says, well, you were supposed to be wearing a mask. Their policy is you have to follow it. And I'm having to educate the police on what a place of public accommodation is. And I said, you legally have no ordinance to arrest me on a face mask. And he said, no, but I can arrest you on trespass second degree. And he did. He handcuffed me, took me to the car, wanted to put a mask on me, and took which I declined. I said, no, I'm not complying. Took me to the jail. They booked me. They wanted to give me a COVID test, and I said, I do not comply. That's an experimental test. And I was fine. I was the bail was $280. And a stranger in the parking lot saw what happened, followed me in the van, and paid my bail.
Wow. So now you're facing a court date and fees and all of that. And how can people support you? Because we got to wrap it
up
here. How can people support you in your lawsuit and all of this stuff that's going on?
Thank you. So I don't have an attorney because no attorney wants to take this case in the state of Oregon, even though I have solid evidence and I've been looking up the law. I do have a GoFundMe page. It's I can't even remember the
you
title.
Give me that. We'll put it on the show plan.
Okay.
For this. Okay.
I do have an email address if someone wants to contact me, because I've created flyers helping people to shop mask free peacefully. My email address is MapletonMindy@gmail.com.
Excellent.
And I'm working trying to get farmers markets in Oregon to respect shoppers' rights to shop mask-free. So I'm going to be active doing that.
Good, and that's important because that's outside even.
Yes.
That's right. So incredible. Well, I appreciate your time, and I asked Chris to come in the studio, and Chris, we don't have a lot of time. About a minute is all. Let me get you on the mic here. Chris is with the Safe Air Network, and they have an office here right here next to the studio. And Chris, what makes Safe Air Network? How does the technology work?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that it's an active versus a passive technology. If you look at Americans wanting to get to a point where we don't have to wear masks anymore, restaurants, stores, our schools are being told you need HEPA filtration on your air conditioning units or a HEPA filter machine in your room. And that's a great technology. It traps COVID, right? But what it doesn't do is deal with anything that's in the air. So our system takes positively charged, it takes water, vapor, oxygen, and hydrogen, puts it through an electric process with UV light, and actually puts molecules out in the air that seek and destroy the COVID virus so that your room is clean. It sanitizes surfaces and the air. 99.9% of COVID gone within 3 minutes in the air. And as long as the machine's running, it's actively taking that same process against all of the desks, tables, store shelves, and everything else. 99.9% elimination.
Incredible way to make your air and your surfaces clean and push back against the mask mandate. SafeAirNetwork.com. Thank you, friends, for tuning in this morning. Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Chris. God bless you, and God bless the USA.